You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's Wednesday, so you know that means it's time to talk our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center.
If we have to go to the White House, I'm going as myself.
You have to think about your dream and what you want to do.
What it means is open up your goddamn market the way we opened up ours.
It was on this day in 1843, the U.S. Navy launched a new warship that would be part of the revolution in sailing technology. It would eventually become the target of a Confederate conspiracy during the Civil War. We are talking about the USS Michigan. With us now is the Michigan History Center's Rachel Clark. Hey, Rachel.
Hello.
And Joel Stone, senior curator with the Detroit Historical Society's Dawson Great Lakes Museum, which, of course, is on Belle Isle. Joel Stone, welcome.
Hello, Cynthia.
Good to have you both with us. So, Rachel, it's 1843. It has been three decades since the War of 1812. What was behind the decision to build this new ship on the Great Lakes?
In the late 1830s, so there was in 1837 and 38 in that winter, there were a few armed rebellions in Canada. The people of Canada were rebelling against the British Crown and lack of political reforms that they wanted. And so during these rebellions, the British Navy sent some ships into the Great Lakes, and these ships were very well armed and very well armored. And the U.S. wanted to compete with those British naval vessels.
So, Joel, what made the USS Michigan stand out from every other ship in the U.S. Navy?
No, it was revolutionary. It was the first all-metal, all-iron ship in the United States Navy. It was kind of a follow-up on an earlier, a smaller vessel that had been developed for the government for surveying, but this was a warship, the first one that they had, and a wonderful innovation by Secretary Upshur. It was by far the fastest ship in the United States Navy, and that's kind of counterintuitive. People think that an iron ship, you know, much heavier than a wood ship, but not the case. It was about half the weight. It was about half the cost. Because of the way it was built, it was much more accurate as a gun platform. It had a smaller crew, less maintenance. It was just a great innovation, although it took the Navy a long time to catch on.
So the Michigan was made of iron. Now, lots of us have been taught that ironclads made their debut in the Civil War nearly 20 years later. Tell us, how did the USS Michigan compare to those famous Civil War ironclads, the Union warship Monitor and the Confederate Merrimack?
Well, ironclad, as the name indicates, is taking a wooden vessel and laying an iron sheath over the side of it, which really takes a heavy vessel and makes it heavier. In the case of the USS Michigan, it was built entirely of iron. Oddly enough, created in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, taken apart, shipped up to Lake Erie and put back together. And it was, because it was all iron, it was just so much lighter and faster that it was an incredible innovation.
And Joel, do we know if the U.S. Navy specifically chose the Great Lakes for testing out the Michigan?
They did, more specifically, not because the lakes were the best venue for that, but because they could make iron so much cheaper in Pennsylvania than they could on the East Coast, because they had the coal, because they had the iron, because they had the limestone. It was just financially feasible. In fact, the USS Michigan cost half of what a similar vessel at the time being built on the East Coast out of wood. So it was just a wonderful savings. It was a perfect combination of supply and demand.
And meantime, as Rachel mentioned, you had some well-equipped British warships there to kind of curb the Canadian rebellion. Joel, did the USS Michigan see any action through those years?
Well, they did, and mostly the action was pulling other ships off of reefs and off of sandbars. It was an extremely powerful boat. It kind of became a towboat, much to the chagrin of the captain, the Navy captain. But then it got into all kinds of other things. It was involved in the King Strang, Beaver Island Rebellion, if you want to call it that, in the 1850s, early 1850s. It was involved in the timber piracy that was going on along Lake Michigan in the mid-1850s. And then the Civil War came along.
And Rachel, so let's fast forward, a few years to the Civil War, and the USS Michigan was beginning to attract some unwanted attention. Who was eyeing the ship, and for what purpose?
As Joel said, the USS Michigan was a far better ship than the ironclads of that era, so the Monitor and the Merrimack. And it had been patrolling the Great Lakes. By the dawn of the Civil War, it was heavily armed. And the Confederate States of America, early in the war, had been thinking about attacking the North through Canada. So in 1863, a plan was hatched to board the Michigan using Canadians sympathetic to the Southern cause and use it against the North in the Great Lakes. Jefferson Davis did not like that idea, so it never came to fruition. And the Michigan remained in the Great Lakes through the duration of the war.
You know, you have to wonder, Joel, if Jefferson Davis had felt a little differently about that plan, when you think of having maybe some Confederate pushing from the Great Lakes and kind of a pincher effect, we might have seen a different outcome to the war.
Well, they certainly would have caused some havoc, that's for sure. And the Michigan during the Civil War also was involved in suppressing draft riots in Milwaukee and Buffalo and Detroit, Chicago. There were also kind of, riots would be the wrong word, strikes up in the copper country and in the iron country that were, trying to get higher wages during a time of crisis. And the Michigan was able to go up and stifle those. So, I mean, if Jeff Davis had gone along with it and the guys had been successful, it would have been a whole different game up here in the Great Lakes.
If you've just joined us, we're talking about the USS Michigan, a warship that was made of iron, launched this day in 1843 by the U.S. Navy, revolutionizing warships and warship technology, as we talk with the Michigan History Center's Rachel Clark and Joel Stone, who's the senior curator with the Detroit Historical Society's Dawson Great Lakes Museum. So, Joel, how long was the Michigan seaworthy and serving the Navy?
Well, it actually served the Navy right up through World War I. Because of the way it was built, it was overbuilt like anything early on in a technology. It was well overbuilt, so it did very well right through the 1890s. It was at the World's Fair in Chicago in 1893 showing off, and then became a survey vessel, kind of working all of the lakes, not in a wartime capacity, but it also served as a training vessel through the Spanish-American War, through World War I, and by the time it got to World War II, it had reached the end of its service life.
So what happened to the USS Michigan when a ship reaches the end of its service life? What's the ending like?
Well, everybody gets real sentimental and they try to save it. And while its name was Michigan, it was based out of Erie, Pennsylvania for its entire career. The folks there tried to raise money and were not able to. In fact, in Detroit, because it had spent so much time here, Henry Ford offered to buy it and work it somehow into his Greenfield Village, and that didn't happen. And eventually the scrappers got it. They were able to save the bow. The first 10 feet of the boat is preserved down in Erie, Pennsylvania at a wonderful maritime museum there. But the rest of the ship ended up at the scrapper's yard.
Well, she certainly had a long and illustrious career, I think it's safe to say. We have a big thank you to the Michigan History Center's Rachel Clark and to Joel Stone, who's senior curator with the Detroit Historical Society's Dawson Great Lakes Museum. Worth a visit on Belle Isle. If you haven't been, do go. As we mark today the 175th anniversary of the launching of the USS Michigan, the first ironclad vessel in the U.S. Navy's fleet. Thank you, both of you, so much. Really interesting.
Thank you.
Thanks.